Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, my favorite time of the week, Thursdays at 3. These wonderful guys, the Newsom brothers at BBS Radio TV, are very flexible. I just came out of an appointment. I just got a decent-sized check, which always makes you happy. And now I'm on the road for about 45 minutes headed home. And so we are doing the Junk Refund Show, coming to you live from Lanham, Maryland. And that location will change as I travel back towards North Bethesda, Maryland. Anyway, welcome to the show. We're having a lot of fun. It's always a great thing to go do some work for one person, and then they refer you to another person, and boom, off you go. And that's kind of what's happening today. And I have absolutely no complaints. So we're thrilled to have you here. The company we have and that I founded is 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. A refund is money you get back after you first pay for something. That means you pay us to haul away your stuff. We do four things with it. We junk the junk. We recycle stuff like metal and wire. We donate items and get your receipts. And the thing that sets us apart is we put the good stuff up for sale, and if it sells, you get some money back. So we just contracted with a really nice couple. They've been married 41 years. We're going to come in on July 21st and start their job. They've got about 5 truckloads of stuff to haul away, and we're going to do it for them for probably about $1,500, maybe even $2,000 less than some of the bigger companies would charge in this area to do this. So they're happy, we're happy, everybody wins. And I told them, you don't have to get everything ready before we come. You just have to point to it like you just did when they just took me through the home to do an estimate, and we will deal with it from there. So we try and make it simple for everybody. We try and make it easy. And we try to save you some money and make you some money as we do this. We've done jobs all over the country. We've gone from Seattle to San Diego, from Chicago to San Antonio, and from Maine to Tampa. So we've been doing this 20 years. We have a lot of fun doing it. And it's always an adventure like this job was that we just contracted to do. So we've got some fun stuff to talk about. I keep track during the week. I kind of keep track of things that happen and things that I want to talk about. And I want to shout out some kudos. Going back about a month ago or so, they had a singles conference sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's the church I go to here in the Washington. I've never gone to these singles conferences before. I've been pretty active on the websites and, reaching out to a lot of people. There are lots of cool people out there. So I'm pretty active on the websites, reaching out to people and seeing what we can do. And I've been doing it for 11 years, but I've never gone to a conference. And in this case, They got 500 people together who basically look at life the same way I do. We have the same kind of values. We go to the same church, even though different congregations. And so you know a lot about the background, or at least the values of the people that are there at the conference. It was really well planned, and the venues were terrific. The people were terrific, and I met lots of cool people there. I even did my best hanging out with the Latino group for the Latino dance. We had a couple of dances we did, and the Latinos, the second night of the grand gala that we had at the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C., the Latino group had their own music, did their own party. The big party was going on upstairs. The Latino party was downstairs. Towards the end of the night, I left the big party, went downstairs, and mixed right in and made a bunch of really cool Latino friends downstairs. And that was a blast. So I guess my comment is, if you're single and you're looking for something to do, don't be afraid to go to a conference. Look them up on the web and see what's going on in your area. And just go have fun. I will tell you about one young lady that was there. And when I say young, I'm 67. She was probably in her low 30s, I think. And we got rained out the very first night from the National Harbor in Maryland. We got rained out, so they quickly moved it to a chapel, one of our church chapels about 10 minutes away, and we did a makeshift dance. And I noticed most of the people there are not in their 30s. They're in their 40s up to, I guess, 70s, right? But here is this young lady in her low 30s who walked into this gymnasium by herself. One of the youngest people there may have been the youngest person there. If not, she's close to it. She's there at a dance with a bunch of people that she doesn't know who are older than her. Some of them are twice her age. I just coincidentally was helping to lay out some more folding chairs, and she came walking in and kind of stood over by me. And so I just unfolded a chair and put her there for her and kind of pointed to her and said, "Here you go. If you want that chair, it's yours." And then I just kind of out of the corner of my eye watched her throughout the night. She was out just having a great time, dancing with people, having a lot of fun. Pretty much everybody's older than she is. And she just kind of owned the party, even though it was not a party with people, her peers, of her peers. And that, I even told her the next night at the gala, I saw her there. And I went up to her and I just pulled her aside. I said, "Hey, I just want to compliment you on your self-esteem. I mean, you were at that dance last night. It was not people your age. It's people older, some of them twice as old as you." And she goes, "I know, I had fun, and I went by myself." And I went, "All the more reason to tell you that you have self-esteem, because you went there, had a great time. You didn't have to be with anybody. It couldn't have been a 100% comfortable situation for you, because you're there with people who are much older than you, generally speaking, but you still had fun." That's real good self-esteem, in my opinion. And I just told her that, you know, and I wanted to pass that along to her. So I also had a great time with the lady who, I think her name was Angel. You know, sometimes at these social events, you'll see people sitting over in the corner for some reason. This lady had come up from South Carolina, was in a wheelchair, was quite overweight, and was sitting by herself with a couple of friends who I think had left to go out and dance on the floor Saturday night. She was sitting by herself literally over in the corner of this large ballroom. And so I just went over and sat down with her and said, "Hi, how are you?" And we started talking back and forth. And I just spent maybe 20 minutes with her, something like that. And we had a wonderful time. And I just want to put in a plug for the idea that you reach out to somebody else, you'll probably feel good about it. It's just naturally going to happen. And that did with me. She has a wonderful personality. We had a great time swapping stories and comparing notes, and it was a delightful time to just sit down and talk to a complete stranger. We didn't go dance. That wasn't an easy thing for her to do. But that didn't matter. And I just had a great time. So sometimes it's not about dancing. It's just about saying hi to somebody and making a new friend. And when you do that, you get rewarded. So why am I telling you about that stuff on a junk removal show? Because on this show, we're trying to help you not only get the junk out of your homes and out of your garages, we're also trying to help you get it out of your life. And one of the things you could do to have a happier, better life is learn to meet more people and focus on them, not on yourself. Focus on them, and you'll have an attentive listening audience right away, because what you're talking about is them. So there's a little side note to just kind of keep in mind. I want to tell you about a couple of specials that we're doing. One of these is around the country, good around the country. The other one is pretty much the Washington, D.C. area. And then there's a third one, also good in the Washington, D.C. area. The first one, we'll start with the D.C. area ones. The first one is that if you're listening to this show and you call into this show, which is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Just talk to our producer, Don, and he'll take your name and phone number. And then when we're done with the show, you won't be on the air. You're not going to be on the show. He'll just take your name and phone number. After the show, he'll give me that information. I will contact you and send you a link that allows you to get a pickup truckload of junk removal. Instead of $229 retail price, you pay $79. That is the lowest price we make available for a pickup truck of junk removal, and it's only done through the radio show. Again, call the radio show, 888-627-6008. You can buy two of these, and it's only available through the radio show. Many of you are familiar with Groupon. The same deal is available on Groupon, the same pickup truck load of junk removal, but instead of paying $229, you pay $99. The radio show gives it to you for $20, even cheaper than that. So it's a special deal we do only in the D.C. metropolitan area. And if you have any questions, just call into the show, leave me your name and number, and then we can contact you afterwards and work out all the details. So that's deal number one. That's the radio show voucher. Deal number two, I just launched last weekend for the 4th of July, where we make two pickup trucks of junk removal, normal price, $395 for two pickup trucks of junk. In celebration of our 250th year anniversary as a country, which we're in the last year right now, next July 4th will be our 250th birthday. To celebrate that year, we're running a special all year long. Two pickup trucks of junk removal, normally $395, for $250. We have a special link on our website that you can go look at. It'll just be listed the number 250. That is good in the D.C. metropolitan area as well. And so you should just be aware of that. And we've sold two of those already, and actually done them. We're gonna keep track of these, and as soon as we sell 250, if we sell that many, then we're done. But in the meantime, we got 248 left. So anyway, that's a great deal in celebration of our country's 250th anniversary, leading up to it for the next year. Item number three. Every year, normally at the beginning of the year, sometimes around Thanksgiving, I do a special deal that involves the actual year number. This year would be 2025. I do house cleanouts, which is what I just came from, where I make up to five truckloads of junk removal. Now, these are 12-foot box trucks, not pickup trucks. 12-foot box trucks of junk removal. You get up to five of those, normally $695 a piece. So that's about $3,500. And that price is 20% below the bigger companies around the country that will charge you a lot more. But instead of $3,500, you get it for $2,025 the actual year. I sold 24 of these last year for $2,024, and I'm making five of them available this year for $2,025. The good news is those are good around the country. So you'll see on our website a page that says 2025. You go to that page, it'll tell you all about the deal. There's a buy it now button where you can buy it with a credit card. And we will go in the 48 continental United States. We will come to you, no travel cost, because we fly cheap around the country. And we will come and do up to five big truckloads of stuff hauled away from your place for $2,025 instead of $3,500. That's a big savings. Those are available on a first-come, first-served basis. So again, the page on our website, the website is 1-800-JUNK-REFUND.com, and the page that you're looking for says 2025, or just give us a call or send us an email to junkrefund@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to tell you more about it and answer your questions. But anyway, that's a great deal, and that baby is good around the country. We have literally traveled around the country in years past doing these, most recently Greensboro, North Carolina, for a guy that bought one the latter part of last year. So there you go. There's three specials that we're offering and that we're doing and that we're having fun with. I'm going to take, I know we started late, but I'm going to take a quick break here. Drink a little Gatorade. It is 85 degrees right now where I am. And we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you now from Beltsville, Maryland, on my way to North Bethesda. We'll be right back.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I am traveling home from just having closed a sale for a house clean out that's going to start in Lanham, Maryland, Monday, July 21st. I am headed on the Beltway here, headed back home. It is 86 degrees. I'm drinking down some Gatorade and having a wonderful time. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm trying to talk as loud as I can without going hoarse so that you can hear me and get all the information that you need to get. Anyway, welcome. We'd love to have you here. I love my phone, and I love the fact that during the week I keep track of things that I want to talk about on this show. Here's one, a little caveat. Sometimes you have to be careful in a public setting of kind of shooting your mouth off publicly when you may not know what you're talking about. This is just a little word of caution. So we have, on Wednesday nights here in Washington, we do a Bible study group, and people come to the church casually dressed. We talk about the scriptures, etc. One of the leaders of our church in a worldwide conference about a year ago talked about the British cycling team and how they had never really been contenders in the Olympics until they got a coach who said, look, we're going to try and improve 1%. I think it was 1% a day. I think that's what training program was built around. But the point is, all we're going to try and do is improve 1% a day. And one of the guys in the class raised his hand and said, well, that's kind of easy because after 100 days, you've hit your potential. You've hit your max. And nobody said anything as a follow-up. And then I thought about that. That's something about that thought stuck with me. And I said, okay, let's work the math on this because numbers don't lie. So if your job, let's say, if your job is to deliver 100 peaches a day, and you go out and the first day you deliver 100 peaches, and then you said to yourself, okay, I want to improve 1% a day. So how many peaches are you going to try and deliver the next day? You're going to do 101. How many on the second day? 102. On the fifth day, 105. On the 50th day, 150. And on the 100th day, 200. What you've done in 100 days is doubled your production, but you have not maxed out your possibilities. That's what people, including me, didn't realize when the guy made his comment. The fact is his math was off, and he didn't realize it. So if you want to make improvements, you start at a 1% a day clip. In 100 days, you'll double your production, but that doesn't mean you've maxed out. Do it again for another 100 days, this time using the peaches example, delivering 202 on your first day, then 204, then on your 100th day, you'll deliver 400. Now you have quadrupled your original production, but that doesn't mean that's the most peaches you can deliver. So sometimes you got to be careful, especially in a public setting, of kind of thinking that you know something when in fact you may not. You may not have a clue. And the fact is, this guy's math was off, and he believes something that isn't accurate. And that's an error. You don't want to go through life believing stuff that's not true, right? That's a bad idea. So that's my point. I just want to make that point. Just be careful that, you know, if you want to run that thought through your mind, that's fine. But sit down and do the math and make sure you're right. Because if you're wrong, that could lead to all kinds of mistakes and problems. And it could make you look kind of silly when you thought you knew what you were talking about when in fact you did not. So I'm not trying to criticize my buddy because none of the rest of us picked up on it at the time. I just thought about it afterwards and went, wait a minute, is that really right? And it wasn't. And so that's my point. Just be careful about acting like you know something when you may in fact not. I guess that's all I want to say. I had a wonderful experience the last couple of weeks of helping a buddy of mine celebrate his birthday. He turned 78. Now, I thought about this. I thought, now, when in the world did I get a bunch of friends who are celebrating their 78th birthday? That one kind of snuck up on me. But what I decided to do for his birthday, and this was the idea of a guy named Peter Christensen and his wife, Toby, who are great people out here in the Washington, D.C. area. They wanted, back in March, to throw a surprise birthday party for this guy. And this guy is not the one. He is the last one that wants people to go out of their way on for him. He does not want the attention. He does not want to be in the spotlight. He's perfectly content not being in the spotlight and doing things for other people. A real humble, awesome guy. So as we talked about the idea of hitting him up 3 or 4 months before his birthday with doing a birthday celebration would probably just cause him 3 or 4 months worth of angst. And that's not what we wanted to do. So we decided, you know, not to do that. And as time got closer and closer, here we are you know, getting closer to his birthday, which was a couple of weeks ago, and obviously we wanted to do something for him. Well, we finally arranged to get him to come over to our church and got him there on false pretenses, but he came. His brother came with him, his wonderful brother, and we surprised him. What I decided to do as a good friend of his, and by the way, I know these guys because I've talked about them on the radio show before. For the last 2.5 years, I have been going into their old COVID apartments in Washington, D.C., and helping them clean them out. And what they do is basically go through one piece of mail at a time, a birthday card at a time, a photo at a time, a book at a time, trying to decide what to take to their new residences or what to let go. And that might sound like an easy process for most of us, but when you're 78 and 83, respectively, this is the one time in your life when you're going to literally review your life and decide what you want to keep. That's a little bit of a tender moment. And that's what these guys have gone through, and it has taken time. They just wanted to go through and look at stuff and decide what to do. So that's how I've gotten to know these guys really well. And it was the young guy, the 78-year-old guy, whose birthday was coming up, and we wanted to do something special for him. So I decided, wouldn't it be cool if we could get 78 of his friends to send in a little 10 or 15 second video wishing him happy birthday. And then at his birthday party, we show him the entire video clip of all these individual videos put together. And I just thought, you know what would be really cool is if we could get 78 people to do this for his 78th birthday. Now, this guy has a lot of friends going back decades. We started to put together who those friends were and then started to reach out to them. I invited about 70 people the first go-around to send me a video, and within 72 hours, I had the first video back. And I just went in on my laptop using a Microsoft program called ClipChamp, and I started to assemble these videos one after the other. The bottom line is we ended up getting about 40 videos in, but we also ended up getting about 40 still photos in, which I put together in a PowerPoint presentation with some music. And if you count up the number of people in all those photos that are wishing him happy birthday, it wasn't 78. It was 217. Now, that's pretty impressive. I mean, if you're the guy that has that many people who care about your birthday enough to send you either some still photos or do a video, that's pretty cool. On the one hand, we had videos that were 3 seconds long. A guy from a wonderful guy from our local church basically turned on his phone. He said, "Happy birthday, so-and-so," and turned off his phone. Took 3 seconds. On the other hand, some good friends of his that he knew a few years ago were on a cruise on the Danube River in Germany, and they went to the back of the cruise ship and did a 2-minute video from the back of the cruise ship on the Danube River and emailed that to me. And it was just a joy to watch this guy listen to birthday greetings from friends of his, literally from around the world. And it was one of the funnest things that I've seen. And then to go ahead and show him the PowerPoint presentation afterwards was also terrific. And hats off and kudos to all these people that took time out of their busy schedule to wish this guy a happy birthday. You know, if you're 78 and you got 200 people wishing you a happy birthday because somebody reached out to them and invited them to do it, you've done something right with your life. It's that simple. And I was really happy for him. I just thought it was terrific. I wrote down a thing here called Love What You Have, Not What You Don't. And I had that thought sometime this past week where you know, sometimes we're always kind of thinking of what we would like or what we would want, right, or whatever. And it comes into play at Christmas time where people kind of put together their wish lists of gifts they'd like to get, right? Stuff they don't have. If you want to have a really, go buy some basic Christmas cards at CVS and handwrite some Christmas cards to people that matter to you in your life. Some of them you know, some of them you don't know. Some of them could be celebrities, some of them could be your siblings. It doesn't matter. Just people who you value in your life. And send them a Christmas card. And they will appreciate it very much. And you will find out that rather than waiting to get certain gifts and putting your joy in the hands of other people, which is what you do when you have that approach, you take control of your own joy by sending out Christmas cards to other people. And you can send, and every time you send one of those out, you get some joy. So you want more joy, send out more cards. And thank the people who are important to you in your life. I started doing that 7 or 8 years ago. I think I told this story sometime in the last year on this show. I'm going to tell it again. One of the people that I wanted to say thanks to and just wish Merry Christmas was Warren Buffett. I had met Warren one time in Washington, D.C. when he came to Katharine Graham's funeral. I met him walking out of the funeral, got to talk to him for a few minutes, but it wasn't long. I just basically thanked him for what he had taught me over the years as I started my career as a stockbroker. And I wanted to thank him for what he'd done, and I had read somewhere that his wife puts $2.87 in his car every morning, that he goes to work, and on his 5-minute drive to work, he stops at McDonald's and he gets a sausage egg McMuffin. Well, I had read that, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to give her the day off as a Christmas present to Warren. So I sent Warren a handwritten Christmas card, and I put $3 in it. And I sent it to Berkshire Hathaway Corporate Headquarters in Omaha, Nebraska. And I explained to him that I want to buy your breakfast. I'm going to give your wife the day off. I'm going to buy your breakfast. 2 weeks later, I get a letter from Berkshire Hathaway corporate offices in my mailbox, office of the chairman. And here's a formal letter typed out from Warren Buffett that said, "Dear Alan, thank you very much for the Christmas gift of $3, which I spent this morning at McDonald's on my way to work." And then he said something flat out brilliant. He said, "It was very nice of you to remember me." Now, everybody in the world, especially in the world of finance, knows about Warren Buffett. And I heard later that he gets about 300 letters a day. And I'm here to tell you, he doesn't have time to answer them all. But he answered mine. And that led to a tradition of me sending him $3 every Christmas for breakfast. I've done it for 7 years. 1 year I sold a stock and made some money. I decided to splurge, so I sent him $6. I told him to take the other $3 and give it to his wife so she could go on a shopping spree. And I said, because she's married to you, I fully expect she'll be able to buy $10 worth of stuff for $3. 2 weeks later, I get a letter back from Berkshire Hathaway. Oh, this one's handwritten by Warren. He said, "Alan, thank you." And this may have been coming out of COVID. I'm not sure. But he said, "Dear Alan," which we're on a first-name basis now. "Dear Alan, thank you very much for your generous gift of $6. It was really needed this year." Now, this is a guy who, if he goes into an ATM at 7-Eleven with his company's ATM debit card to get $40, and he takes $40 out of his company's account, the balance that's printed on his receipt that the ATM will kick out to him at that time would have said $123 billion still in your account. You with me? Yet he's writing me a letter telling me how much he appreciates the $6, and then he said, "And don't worry about my wife's ability to stretch money. She's even cheaper than I am." Well, there you go. That is priceless stuff when you're communicating with who is arguably, over year in and year out, the richest guy in the world. And depending on what, you know, Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos' stocks have done lately. But that's the concept. You take control of your own joy if you reach out to other people. So focus on what you have, which is friends and some inexpensive Christmas cards and the ability to say thank you to somebody and write them a note. And don't worry so much about what you don't have. Just keep working to accomplish that. But in the meantime, enjoy what you have. I wrote down another thing here where it says it's okay on either end of the money chain. And what that means is there are times in your life, there are times in my life where I have gone to an ATM, taken some money out, and the balance that was left was six figures. There are times in my life when I have gone to the ATM, tried to take money out, and got an error message that I had an insufficient balance. If you have a decent amount of money or more than you might need, that's okay because now you're kind of breathing a little easier and you feel like there's a little bit of a surplus and you got the world by the tail. If you are on the other end of the food chain or the money chain and you just don't have much, that's okay too because now it presents a challenge to you to see if you can use your skills and your motivation and your brain to play the money game and go earn some money. My point is you can be happy on either end of the chain. And, you know, I go as a business owner, I'll go out and get a check for, I don't know, thousands of dollars, and I feel like I own the world. On the other times, I'll get, you know, text messages in the morning that say something, you know, some automatic payment didn't go through because of an insufficient balance. And I'll go, oh, crap. But then that presents the opportunity for me to turn that around. And that in and of itself is a game. And if you can play the game on the both ends of the chain, you're a happy person. So on the one hand, you feel like you have a surplus and maybe not as many challenges. On the other hand, you feel like you've got a challenge staring in your face, and the game is to try to overcome that challenge. And if you do, you'll feel great. My point is you can be happy on either end of the money chain, and it will be okay. I'm going to take another break here for a minute. I'm getting close to home, but we'll take another break for a minute. We'll come back and do the last segment of the show. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook. Coming to you now from, let's say, only Olney, Maryland, and headed home. I'll be back to you in a minute. We'll wrap up today's show.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
See, now that's a really good radio voice. That's Don Newsom right there, who spent years on the radio. And he's our producer. He's one of the co-founders of VBS Radio Network. You can listen to the show live on VBSRadio.com. Also, the episodes that we do will turn into podcast episodes, and you can find those on bbsradio.com, or you can Google Junk Refund Show, and you can pick it up there as well. So anyway, we're having fun. I'm getting close to home. It is now 84 degrees, and I am cruising in my Dodge Ram pickup truck, having just come home from an estimate where we secured a job to clean out a house in a couple of weeks. I want to end the show with a shout-out to a lady named Lisa Sizemore, who is in Pasadena, Maryland. And if you hear of this show and you are anywhere in that area, or if you want to send her a note or call her or whatever, you tell her that I talked about her on the radio show. The only health issue that I have had in my life is high blood pressure, and I probably do that because I push myself pretty hard and I have a lot of adrenaline, so I like to go out and do a lot of things. One of the things I did recently was involved picking up some scrap metal, and a guy called me from Pasadena, Maryland. One of the great things you can do as a business owner, or any, you know, anything that you want to try to generate some money, is put a post out on Craigslist as a business. Pay $5 for it. It stays out there for 30 days. That is what you call dirt cheap advertising. So I did this for hauling away scrap metal, and a guy out in Pasadena, Maryland, which is 50 miles away, contacted me and said, "Hey, I've got a riding lawnmower out here. Can you come haul this sucker away for me? And we will take that scrap metal, take it into a scrap metal dealer. They will pay us for it, and that's how I make some extra money in cash." So I went out to Pasadena Monday afternoon, but I had worked Monday morning by myself. I had unloaded another riding lawnmower that we got from somebody else, put it in my storage unit because it's a good mower, and I think we're going to use it to start a kind of a lawn mowing side business here. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND-LAWNS, I think we're going to call it, because we got a lot of customers, and hey, when the grass gets too long, then you've got some junk in your front yard, and we're all about getting the junk out of your home and your yard and your garage. So, and people, in the last couple of months, people have paid us to take two riding lawnmowers, four edge trimmers, a couple of blowers, and I can't remember what else, something else that has to do with lawn stuff, and power tools and other things, and bush trimmers and stuff. And we have all this stuff, these tools that work, that we actually got paid to take, that we can taking something that someone else threw away, paid us to take it, then we turn around and use it in our business that makes us even more money. That, to me, is just a blast. I love that concept. So, in this case, we got a bunch of lawn equipment, and I wanted to hold on to it. Well, I unloaded a truck of equipment Monday morning, and to make a long story short, after 7 hours of work, I drove an hour to Pasadena, Maryland, to pick up a riding mower. These riding mowers weigh about 350 pounds. I have loaded these into my pickup truck by myself before. I took some ramps with me, at least one ramp with me, and kind of assumed maybe there'd be like a 2x6 that I could use to make up the other ramp, and I was right, there was. But the problem is, when these riding mowers sit for a while, the tires go flat. When the tires are flat, you can't move them very well at all. So I have a mobile, inflatable gizmo that pumps up tires, everything from truck tires to lawnmower tires to whatever else. And I took that out with me, and I pumped up the tires on this tractor, but the right front tire would not pump up. It kept losing air. The tire had come off the rim, or still on the rim, but it was loose, and so it's kind of hard to do that. I fiddled around with it for an hour. Well, a month ago, I got some new blood pressure medication that was double the dose of what I'd had before, and it turns out it was too much. When you take blood pressure medication, it pulls liquid out of your body. So you start to dehydrate, and in this case, this was serious because it was 90 degrees. I was working by myself, and I'm trying to get a 400-pound, you know, riding lawnmower up into a truck. in the course of doing it, I started getting lightheaded. I had some water with me, but that wasn't enough. And I literally had to stop and get down on one knee and kind of get my head down closer to the ground to try to get some more blood into my head, probably 20 times. Well, it turns out the brother-in-law of the guy who asked me to come out and get this showed up at the house, helped me get the thing up into the truck. So that was successful. Then I get into the truck to drive home. I drive about 2 blocks, and all of a sudden my vision starts to go white. That means, that's not good. I'm about to pass out here. Something's happened. So I immediately pulled over to the side of this road, and I was just out in kind of the, we'll call it the countryside of Pasadena, so not a lot of traffic, one-lane roads, basically, and I just pulled over to the side and leaned over to my right in my pickup truck to try to catch my breath and get my head back together. Lisa Sizemore lives in the house across the street from where I pulled the truck over to the side. Within about 2 minutes, she was at my window saying, "Sir, are you okay?" And I said something like, "I think so. I just need to get some more blood into my head." She went back into her house and got some ice packs and some cold water and brought it out to me. And I still was no better. I was still leaning over to the right side. Couldn't get my cognizance back. She said, "Do you want me to call 911? I said, "Yes, I think that's a good idea." And the bottom line is I spent Monday night in the Baltimore Washington Medical Center in Glen Burnie, Maryland, in the emergency room, first night of my life that I've spent in a hospital, getting hydrated. And one of the problems when you're dehydrated is that your kidneys start to go wacky. And if you don't keep that under control, you really got problems. And so I just trusted the EMT folks, a lady named Donnie, who was one of the first EMTs to come pick me up. And she said, "You know, we can't force you to go to the hospital, but trust me, you don't look very good." Well, all of that happened. The care that I needed is because of a lady named Lisa Sizemore in Pasadena, Maryland, who had the brains and the kindness to see somebody in trouble, come out and make a phone call. The EMTs came. I went into the hospital, and they dumped at least, when you're on an IV, I got at least 4 bags of fluid put into me. I drank 5 Gatorades. I ate 3 turkey sandwiches. And all I wanted to do when they told me the bad news, I'm going to have to stay overnight, and you're all wired up and everything, I couldn't, I like to sleep by kind of rolling to my left side, rolling to my right side. You know, I can't do that when I'm all wired up. And all I wanted when I was lying on that bed in the hospital Monday night was to be home in my bed, not wired up, in the cool air. That's all I wanted, period. Well, I got that Tuesday night, and it worked, and everything worked out great. I want to thank the medical staff at BWMC in Glen Burnie, Maryland, for taking such good care of me, the emergency staff, the EMTs. My kidney numbers came back down to normal the next morning, so they let me come home. And I went over and just gave Lisa a giant hug, picked up my truck, which she parked in her front yard and kept an eye on for me for 24 hours, and drove back home. So be careful in the heat. Air conditioning is your best friend. Stay hydrated, and you'll probably stay out of a hospital. That's the thing that I learned. So, anyway, it's been a fun week. Good things are happening, and I'm just thrilled to be on the BBS Radio Network and with the Newsom Brothers and all the good stuff they do. And I love what I do, and I have fun doing it, and I try and make it innovative so that people win more with us than they do with any other junk removal company in the country. And God bless us. We'll keep trying to do our very best, and that's what makes it all so much fun. Have a great week, everybody. Check out the podcast, all the episodes we've done prior to this, to get more clues on how to get the junk out of your home and out of your life. And we'll see you next week on the Junk Refund Show on the BBS Radio Network. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.